We continue 5 lines up from the bottom on Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We were discussing different statements from Abaye and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was making the argument that whenever there is a monetary compensation involved, we would be allowed to do certain things for idolaters because of Eva. So before we were discussing nursing and delivering babies, which was connected to the sugya. Now we go off the sugya a little bit, and Rav Yosef begins as follows. Sav Rav Yosef lemeimar hadatanya ha'ovad kuchavim veroi behema daka lamalin v'lomaridin asugi bezcharshari mishum eva. We've mentioned this brisa before, that an idolater and roi behema daka, those that shepherd light animals or skinny animals, lo malin, you're not allowed to pick them up out of the a pit when they're stuck. Velo maridin, we also don't forcibly push them down into the pit to kill them, essentially. But we don't pick them up to save them. However, says Rav Yosef, maybe if they are willing to pay you money to pull them out of the pit, we should do it because of Eva. Because if they're offering money and we're not taking it, then clearly it's going to create in the short term, it's going to create really, the relationships will deteriorate even greater. Says Rav Abaye again, Amar Abaye, Yachal lomar lo koi bria igra, inami nikita le zimna le beidoar. Abaye says, no, not necessarily, because you have a good excuse. You can get around it. You can tell them, look, you know, my son is on the roof. I need to get him down. Or I have an appointment with the government and I can't push it off. And if I push it off, I get killed. Something like that. And therefore, you're able to get around it. So in that case, even though you would have thought because it would be mutter because of Eva, when they're offering a financial compensation, says Abaye, there's a reason to get around it. Tani Rabbi Avo Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo taught the following brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'ovdei kochavim veroi behem adaka, lamalin v'lo maridin. Another quote, like we just said before. An idolater and roi behem adaka, you cannot forcibly push them into a pit, but you're not allowed to take them out of the pit as well. However, aval haminim veha misoros veha mumrim hayu moridin v'lo malin. But a min, Rashi says, a komer la'avodah zarah, someone who was Jewish and now believes in idolatry, misoros, someone who is an informer, a malshin, as Rashi says, veha mumrim, those who are mumer, and the Gemara is going to discuss in more detail what exactly a mumer is, but certainly someone who has gone off the path. Hayumoridin, you are actually allowed to push them into the pit. In other words, you're essentially allowed to kill them. You're not actually murdering them, but when you put them into the pit, afterwards they'll eventually die. Velo malin, and you're not allowed to lift them out of the pit. Sounds very difficult to digest, the fact that you're essentially killing these you call them apostates or heretics, what have you. But again, at least certainly in the times of the Gemara, when there were Beis Dins who administer capital punishment, when they veered off the path and have a negative influence on others, they felt that it would be okay to do something like this. Clearly nowadays, when a Beis Din cannot administer capital punishment, this is certainly not permitted. Nevertheless, Amar Leh. So anyway, the point is that we're focusing now on the second half. The Minim, the Masoros, and the Mumrim, you're able to be molded them into a pit. How could that be? Amar Leh. So that was, they taught this brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to them, Ani shone lechol avedas achicha l'rabos es hamumr. That amar tayu moridin. Lechol avedas achicha, you're supposed to return everyone's lost object. Even, says Rabbi Yochanan, a mumr, someone who is a mumr la'avodas kochavim, you're allowed to save them. But you just said you're not allowed to save them, you have to lower them into the pit. So how do you deal with that? So that answers the Gemara, sami mikan mumr. Take out mumr. A mumr is not one of the three or one of the people that you are allowed to throw into a pit. A min and a moser you're allowed to, but not a mumer. Gemara says, well, why not a mumer? Because you know there are two different types of mumers. The lishni le kan bimumer la ochel nevelas letiavon, kan bimumer ochel nevelas lahachis. Can you distinguish between a mumer letiavon, someone who acts like an idolater because he desires certain things, that he desires he's eating non-kosher food, for example, not because he's anti-Jewish, but because he's just so desirous of eating pork. And there's a halachic difference. Someone who does it because they desire it, their punishment is not as severe as someone who is doing it just specifically to be anti-Jewish. And therefore we could say, a mumer that is thrown into a pit is someone who does it lahachis. But seven l'teyavon, then you wouldn't throw into the pit. Why couldn't you give that type of answer to reconcile it that way? Says Gemara, Kasavar, Rav Yochanan was of the opinion, ochon nevelos lahachis minhu. Rav Yochanan was of the opinion that someone who eats nevelos, eats treif, lahachis, because they're anti-Jewish, that's considered a min, not a mumer. A mumer would be someone automatically, by definition, who eats it l'teyavon. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan didn't give the answer distinguishing between mumer l'teyavon and mumer l'hachis. But it's true, a mumer l'hachis is considered a min, and therefore it would be someone who would be moridin velo malin. Itmar, just continuing in the discussion of mumer l'hachis and mumer l'teyavon. Mumar pligi rav achav ravina, chadamar l'teyavon mumar l'hachis min, havi. One says a mumar l'teyavon is someone who does averos because they desirous of the food or the item, but not anti-religious, they're considered a mumar. But if it's l'hachis, they're considered a min. The other one says, v'chadamar, afil l'hachis nami mumar, someone who is eating treif l'hachis because they're anti-religious is also considered a mumar. Well, then, if that's the case, well, what's considered a min? Ele'ezeho min? Zeha oved elili kochavim. Someone who is an idol worshipper is considered a min, according to that opinion. A mumer would only be somebody who is eating something, lahachis or l'teyavon, but not actually serving idols. So now the Gemara wants to prove or argue for one side, which one is considered lahachis and what's l'teyavon. Meisvei achal pirosh echad or yitush echad. If someone eats a flea or a fly, hareza mumer, they're considered a mumer. Well, why are they only considered a mumer? Veha hachad lahachis hu. That, for whatever reason, they knew that they were eating it lahachis because they were anti-religious. Uketani mumer. And it says, oh, nevertheless, they're still considered a mumer. So they're following the other opinion that a mumar would be l'teyavon or l'hachis, and a min is someone who worships idols. And says the Gemara, you can't necessarily prove it. Hasam boy lemitam taima di yisura. No, that wasn't a mumar l'hachis. That was actually a mumar l'teyavon. He ate the fly or the flea, but not because he was anti-religious. It was because he was really curious to know the taste of these bugs. And therefore, he's really a mumar l'teyavon, not a mumar l'hachis. So that is essentially the discussion about mumer l'hachis, mumer l'teyavon, that does have ramifications for halachic purposes. Certainly someone who wants to daven for the amud, if you're mumer l'hachis, if you're anti-religious, it's certainly not appropriate for mumer l'hachis to daven for the amud, but a mumer l'teyavon, so they're a balaver, they're not religious, but they're not religious because they're anti-religious, it's just they're desirous of other things. So they don't keep kosher or do certain things which are not in consonance with Jewish law. Nevertheless, we're a little more lenient, have a lot more leeway in terms of their participation in shul, and certainly someone who grew up that way, we have the other concept of tinok shenishba to allow them to participate in shul life as well. Amar Mar, we said before, hayu marina v'lo malin, we said that a mumer min and a moser, you're allowed to push into the pit, but you're not allowed to raise them up. Well, hashta achosi machsin on a suki mi boy. If you're allowed to push them down, why would you even think to pull them up? You're not going to save them. So now, Amar Rav Yosef, what it means is, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshesh, lo nitrucha she im haisa mala babor megarira, that if they were trying to pick themselves up, what you would do is you would megarer, you would shave off the top area of the rocks to make it harder for them to get back up. Dinakila, you can make an excuse for Amar Lotechus Ilave, that you should say no one should climb on it, and therefore, or you would say, as Rashi says, Derech Mala Zu V'Tamos Babor. You tell them no one should go this way, and therefore you would allow they would end up dying in the pit because they wouldn't be able to grab onto anything to pick themselves up. Rabab, and so that's what it means. You're not allowed to raise them up. That's not what it means. What it means is don't allow them to get out. Rabbah Rav Yosef Dar Mitzvayu Lo Nitzrucha Shem Ha'isa Even Al Pi Ha'Be'er Mechasa, that if there was a space for a there was a hole on the pit, you would cover it. Amar La Avuri Chiyusa Yileve, you tell them, well, it's because I have animals that want to climb out, that want to walk over. Ravina Amar Shem Ha'Yasulam Misalko, if there was a ladder there, you would move the ladder away so that in order that they can't get out. Amar, and you would say to them, "Ba'inala bari megra, I need to lower my son off of the roof." So you can come up with all these excuses so that you can show them why you can't help them up from the pit. So that's what it means, moridin. You can push them down and let them to, in order to, for them to meet their death. Below malin, you cannot pick them up. In other words, if they're able to get out, you would prevent them from getting out so that they meet their end in the pit. Not such a fun idea to think about. Certainly these laws don't apply anymore, but when capital punishment was administered, the force of Beis Din would allow these people who were not following or who were considered apostates and were deserving of this type of punishment, at that time these types of punishments were permitted.